So today's Bible reading is Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38, and in the church Bible, that is page 714. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, but wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month."
Thanks, Jess. Amazing reading these stories again, often only at Christmas time. So we've been, and in our Christmas theme, we've had the theme of Christmas surprises. So today we're going to look at the surprise of a new light that comes into the world. So I want to show you a picture. This is a photo of a guy I went to school with in New South Wales, on the left there. This is a few years before what I'm about to tell you about actually happened. He was from Blackheath, which is near Katoomba in New South Wales. I grew up in Katoomba, and he was from Blackheath. We went to school together. So in 1982, he was 16 years old. So the photo's a few years before that. And on the right is part of Jenolan Caves, which is a cave complex in New South Wales. So many people might have been there. And the entrance to the cave, which was the Aladdin's Cave, is off to the right there. So David thought, "I'm going to explore the caves." So he squeezed past the gate, he didn't want to pay, and entered the cave. And he could go into the cave, he could still see the light coming in, so it was no problems. So he went further into the cave, it began to get darker. He was not totally unprepared. He had a box of matches. And so he lit a match and he moved further into the cave. It continued until he realized his match supply was running out. But now he was so far into the cave, he couldn't see the light. He realized he was in trouble, and so he tried to retrace his steps. So he lit a match, and he would sort of memorize the surroundings and go as far as he could and try and go further in what he could remember. And so he lit another match, and eventually the matches ran out. He's 16 years old. He's inside this cave system. He's got no matches. It's pitch black. No light at all. He literally can't even see your hand in front of your face. He's in total physical darkness. Now, the story is big news on the papers and TV. So there were fears that he was injured or had died. The rescue teams were called on to go in and explore the caves. There's many, many caves. I remember as a kid at school, we were watching the news. We generally thought we may never see him again. Now, I wonder if you've ever been on a cave tour. You go on a cave tour, and very often, they'll turn off the lights when you get into a dark part of the cave, and you'll go like this, and you can literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. You can see it's absolute pitch black, complete darkness. We're used to living with some light, at least, in a room. You know, you get up in the middle of the night, you try and turn the light on, but at least you can kind of see a little bit. But in the cave, there is none, not any light at all. So David's experiencing this inside the cave. He didn't know if he'd make it out. He lost track of time. The physical darkness turned into an emotional darkness. When he was eventually rescued, he told the rescuers, "I'd given up hope of being found." He was known as missing on the Monday, and he was discovered on the Wednesday. So he was in there for that long a time, but he said it seemed a lot longer. Now, as kids at school, being very sensitive, we gave him a name that for years stuck with him, to continually remind him of the experience, we called him Caveman. Now, unless we have visual impairment, we take it for granted that we can see that light shows us the way. We can make sense of our surroundings, but when the light is taken away, it becomes obvious there's no light. It's very easy to become fearful when we're in the dark. In the cave, David experienced complete physical darkness. We've probably all experienced that in some way. We've probably also experienced emotional darkness or some sort of darkness that has left us feeling terrible. When it seems there's no way forward, no way up, no way out, there's no flicker of light to lead the way. When we read the Bible, the first thing we read about, the first thing God creates is light. So here's the story from Genesis. Let's go to the next one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. So into a formless and empty world, God says, let there be light, and there is light, the first thing that's created. Scientists have discovered many things about light. Light is a complex reality. In white light are all the colours of the rainbow. Light is a particle and a wave. Light is the fastest thing we know of. It's the universal speed limit. Nothing goes faster. Into the darkness, God speaks, and light appears. The light is good. It separates the dark from the light, the night from the day. This is the way things are. God made the light separate from the darkness, a time for the light, the day, and a time for less light in the night. Every system, every animal, every plant system in the world depends on that light. All life depends on light. Without the life, there is no light. No life, there is darkness. When we lose the light, like my friend David in the cave, we get lost, we get disoriented. We can even end in despair. It's even an identified condition, which friends from the UK might know about. It's called seasonal affective disorder. Identifies that if you're living in low levels of light, it can cause a seasonal depression. And why so many people come from the UK to Australia to get some sunshine, to get some light. We need light. But light comes in many forms. Here's a picture. Imagine the desert camping, and you're a bit scared of creepy crawlies. On the left, this is a desert scorpion. It can't be seen. It's kind of hidden in the rocks there. You might be worried. You can't see it. You might get stung by it. But there are different types of light. Strange thing about scorpions and some other creatures, you can't see them well in natural light. But if you shine a special type of light on them, ultraviolet light, this happens. This is the same picture in ultraviolet light. Quite amazing. And you can get a torch which actually has both types of light. You flick the switch and you've got different types of light. We've already read about the light that God created. He spoke and there was light, natural light, but there are other types of light. There's another type of light mentioned in the Bible. Here's another passage. Isaiah chapter 60, this is written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. The sun will not be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. God created the light, the day, the night, the sun, and the moon to give light. We're dependent on that light. But here it's talking about a different type of light. The sun is not going to be your light by day, nor the moon by night. It's not that visible light is going to be taken away. It's that a new type of light will shine. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Your God will be your glory. This sun will never set. The moon will never wane. The Lord will be your light, and as a result, your days of sorrow will come to an end. Quite a profound statement. A new type of light would come into the world. Maybe a bit like the light which shows up the ultraviolet scorpion, a different type of light through which you see things differently. Things that were limited, you couldn't see them, now they're visible, and your days of sorrow will end. So all the Bible talks about God as the creator of light, sun and moon, the day and the night. One day, there'll be another type of light in the world, God's light. The sun and the moon are necessary, but they're only really preparations for the light that was to come, the true light that would come into the world. Let's skip forward now to the time of Jesus. This is now, he's being announced to the world through a guy called John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is not the sun or the moon. They already exist. It's not talking about the day or the night type light. This is the everlasting light that Isaiah spoke about when he predicted that the Lord would be your everlasting light. So John the Baptist introduces Jesus. He announces him as the everlasting light which is to come into the world. Jesus is this everlasting light. The true light, as John says, that gives light to everyone is now coming into the world. This is picked up in the Christmas carol. So this Christmas carol, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That's the light that Isaiah spoke of. That's the light that John the Baptist was announcing into the world. Something has happened at Christmas. A new light has come into the world. Isaiah had said, the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your God will be your glory. And this light, John calls the true light, is now coming into the world through Jesus. Later on, John the Apostle had walked with Jesus maybe for 50 years since that time. And he's writing, reflecting back on the 50 years of experience, either with Jesus or as an apostle of Jesus. He puts pen to paper and writes this. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. So here's John's summary of everything. This is the message. God is light. In him is no darkness. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He's the one that brought this new light into the world. Something different, something distinctive that wasn't there before. Now, there were ideas about what God was like in the ancient world. In the Greek world, if you'd heard the stories about Zeus and Mount Olympus and all the gods up there, but they weren't very nice. They were vengeful, prideful, hateful, lustful. The Greek gods were pretty much like people, but only more powerful than any mortal. In the Greek world, there was no idea of God of light. There was gods of light and darkness. Their gods had plenty of darkness. And stories of gods with other nations also had plenty of darkness. In the Jewish world, there was this idea of a God of light, but there was always a sense that this God was far away, distant, unreachable. There was a tabernacle or a temple you could come to, but access was restricted. God communicated through the prophets or the law, but it didn't really capture the essence. It didn't bring God closer. The image that they were looking at was not clear. You could never really get to know this God. And then Jesus came into the world. Something different. He revealed that God is light with no darkness, no malice, no vindictiveness, no meanness. And not just as a nice talk or a thesis showing that this is the case, he lived a human life, embodied the light of God. John says we've seen him, we've touched him, we know from first-hand experience. In Jesus, we have this new light. We have the light of life. There is no darkness in him. There's a historian called Tom Holland, not the Spider-Man one, and he's acknowledged as an expert on the Roman Empire. That's his area of expertise. His observation, what was life like in the ancient world before Jesus came? And he said, life in ancient societies, brutal, short, lacking in compassion. He argues the change came through the teachings of Jesus. He says that they were the most transformative and revolutionary force in human history, fundamentally rewiring how the world, particularly the West, understood morality, power, and human value. The light that came into the world through Jesus changed human history. Many people in Western society, we believe in concepts like human dignity, we believe in human rights, we believe in protecting the vulnerable. But maybe sometimes we lose sight of the fact that all of those things came into the world through Jesus. It was his teaching that transformed the world. God is light. There is no darkness in God. Jesus has revealed this to the world. But sometimes there may be situations where we might have difficulties. We might question, has the light come? Has it shone into the world? We might have a form of disability. We might have emotional struggles, relationship issues, employment issues. We can have all sorts of problems. And it's easy to conclude if we have those problems, maybe God doesn't love us. Maybe the light hasn't come. Maybe God doesn't care. We can conclude these things based on our experience. We might expect, if the light has come, why hasn't the world become perfect? Why haven't all the problems been taken away? The light has come, but it's not yet shining in the fullness of its glory. The darkness has been defeated, but it's not yet completely passed away. So in history, in society, and in our individual lives, this conflict between light and darkness is played out. We know the light will win, but we're still in the midst of the struggle. Recent events, we see wars still, shootings, disease, tragedy, underlie for us that even though the everlasting light has come, the battle against darkness is still going on. There's a choice to be made between the light and the darkness for each of us. So here we have the Christmas story. The story of how the everlasting light came into the world. We recount these stories. We hear again the message, the everlasting light has come. Finally, God who is light has been revealed through the person of Jesus. He left behind the comfort and the glory to enter the world as a baby, vulnerable, and not just any baby, but a Jewish baby in a Roman-occupied nation. The Christmas stories show the high and low of society coming to worship him, kings from foreign lands, shepherds out in the fields, angels are singing, a star shows the way. Despite all of these signs that Jesus is king, soon after his birth, Herod tries to wipe him out. The light has shone, but the darkness still comes against it. Jesus becomes a refugee in Egypt. Throughout these experiences, many of them involving hardship and suffering, Jesus shows the message that God is light. That continues throughout his ministry. How he deals with people, how he treats people. It ends with his death on the cross. The light of God shines so brightly it enters our darkness and even takes the darkness upon himself. Faces death and overcomes it on our behalf. Even death itself cannot snuff out the everlasting light of God. His final act on the cross, in great torture and pain, is to promise eternal life to one of the thieves crucified with him and to forgive those who've done these things to him. Darkness came against him, and even in his final breath, his life was light. When he rose from the dead, the victory had been sealed. Light had conquered darkness. Death had been defeated. The light has come and shone in the darkness. Darkness still exists, but the story of Jesus reminds us God is bringing the light into the world. One day the darkness will perish completely. The true light has already shone into that darkness and continues to shine in the lives of those who follow him. Here's again the Christmas scene. And with the scorpion, it was seen in the new light. Couldn't be seen under ordinary light. There's a perspective on Christmas that we see in this new light. Right at the center is the birth of Jesus, the incarnation. God becomes a human being. We see that God is light. There is no darkness in him. All the stories of Christmas are pointing us to this reality. The new light, the everlasting light, has come. God has been revealed in this child Jesus, in a human life. The light has shone into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. And Jesus is the one who brings that light to us. Shall we pray? Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, we recognize the darkness is real in our world. The darkness is real when we face personal struggles, when we see struggles in our society. Some of us, even this year, have faced the death of loved ones. We've felt the darkness in our battles with disease and sickness and many other struggles. Lord, thank you. The light has come. Help us see by that new light. Lord, thank you for the possibilities, for the hope, for the future that comes now with Jesus in our world. May the light continue to shine upon us through the Christmas season and also throughout the year. Lord, bless us as we celebrate Christmas, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.